When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Front and center this morning, it is Thought Leader Thursday here on The Opening Bell. Brett McKittrick is here. He's the SVP and Senior HR Consultant at Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting. That's part of Associated Bank. Brett, good morning. Welcome back to The Opening Bell.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
Let's focus our conversation today on retirement plans.
Sure.
In the workplace. A little bit of a change. There's some evolving here going on. What are you seeing?
Yeah, in terms of trends with retirement plans, you know, there's not anything earth-shattering. We haven't had great legislation or any impactful national acts like we've seen in the healthcare side of things. But retirement plans, particularly 401ks, are still a valuable recruitment, retention, employee benefit that many employers use. And so as a result, we're seeing more employers care about that participation rate and contribution rates for two reasons. One, in the instance that we're actually seeing a lot of the baby boomers who have invested in 401ks their entire careers retire and perhaps retire not with the same money they expected to have at retirement. And the second reason, as we evolve in compensation plans and employee benefits in general, we're seeing different populations of the workforce care about different things, and employers still want to meet those employees at their place of need.
Let's tear that apart. First, the compensation part of this. Are people not putting enough into their retirement accounts, the 401ks? Is that the problem, or are they not getting the match from their employers, or both?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's part of the problem. So, when you think of a 401k plan, you think, is it working, quote unquote, working? You look at two things, participation and contribution. Now, one, employers care about it from the altruistic value of, hey, we want this plan to work for our employees, as we just discussed. The other side is a little more technical in the sense that the 401k plans are regulated by the IRS. The IRS does not want an employer to come in and establish a retirement plan only for the highly compensated employees, only for the owners, executives of the company. So they set rules in place on these retiree plans saying, hey, you must meet certain contribution levels and you must meet certain participation rate levels. So employers are constantly working to try to get people to participate and contribute more.
I know here at WGN, our company, it's mandatory. They put you in it right away from the first day you start. You can contribute what you want, I think, up to a certain amount. But is that one way that companies are addressing what you've just said, is that they're sort of mandating this?
That's right. It's called auto-enrollment or automatic enrollment. And there's also another component that we're seeing has become more and more popular, the auto-escalation. So if I'm a new hired employer, the default might be 1% of my salary goes into the 401k plan. Now, I'm allowed to opt out. They can't take my money and force my money there. But it's sort of like a negative election, the thought being, once, you know, from a behavioral aspect, I'm not used to missing that 1% because it's always going into that 401k. And the auto escalation might be that percent increases to 2% automatically in that second year or in that third year up to a certain percentage. And again, the thought being, well, even in this era of wage stagnation, we still see growth in wages and merit increases. So proportionately, the contribution to a 401k plan might increase as well.
I don't know what I was doing when I was in my 20s, but I didn't get into the 401k when I should. And I saw a story the other day that said, if people get into 401ks in their early 20s, by the time that they're 35, they will have their first $1 million. And that kind of made me a little sad for myself, but is there enough education, I guess, is the question for employees about this?
There really isn't. You're exactly right. Now, there's two problems with that from an education standpoint. Number one is just awareness. And also, as we've talked about before in this program, what's competing for that employee's money? Yeah. You know, a college kid coming right out of school, they're saddled with all this kinds of student loan debt. Do they even have the disposable income to put in that 401k plan? Or the awareness of it? So employers, I think, along with their service provider partners, establishing that 401k plan, need to do a better job of making all employees aware of that 401k plan and the opportunities it can provide. Now, the other part of that, and you mentioned education, is how does anybody, a janitor, an architect, an attorney, a teacher, who are in all these different professions with skill sets beyond or away from investments, how do they know they're making the right choices and investing their money mm-hmm. smartly to make that million or to be ready for retirement?
Well, I know getting ready for today's broadcast, I was looking over your PowerPoint on this. Mm-hmm. That would be a start, is to have these cool PowerPoints that you can learn.
Yeah.
Are more employers taking this by the reins and doing these full on education courses?
Yeah, they really are. And part of it comes down to what's the employer's job? And that's a cultural discussion. You know, does an employer feel, hey, I'm being too paternalistic or maternalistic by trying to push all this information on my employees? Some employers just frankly don't view it in that regard. I think more and more employers are looking at it as from a wellness perspective and being able to provide all kinds of benefits that our employees value. One of those things is making that retirement plan work for them. And a big piece of that is education. Now, that doesn't mean the employer tells the employee where to invest their money or what types of stocks to invest in, but it's educating them on, hey, from a day-to-day budgeting standpoint, what disposable income might you have to invest in the future? What do you need in the future? What type of lifestyle do you want in the future? Those kind of things.
And I'm just having a repressed memory come back into my head. I think I know what happened to me in my 20s. It was student loan debt.
Sure.
I wanted to get my student loans paid for, and also I wanted to save for a house.
Yeah.
So that's where my money went. But you don't have to put in a lot of money to a 401k to get started.
That's exactly right. You know, someone young in their career, they do have probably that student loan. Mm-hmm. They have other financial needs, and they're probably making the lowest amount of money that they'll make over their entire career. So less income to put away into that retirement plan. But to your point, Steve, starting that habit early will more or less create, or starting the action early will more or less create those habits. So when more money is freed up, so to speak, it won't be such of a shock to put away.
You mentioned that the competing notions here, multi-generational, mm-hmm. From millennials to older folks in the workplace, we want different things from our benefits package. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, and that's really difficult for employers to ascertain. You know, people are different. You know, take two people of the exact same age or in the same generation, and they have different needs from a just strictly a financial perspective. But to your point about, I like to think of it as what's competing for that employee's money. Where are they putting that money aside? So when you think about being financially secure, you kind of look at it in three ways. One, day-to-day budgeting. You know, do I have enough to pay my rent? Do I have enough to buy that coffee across the street? Okay. The other end of the spectrum is future savings, saving for retirement, the obvious one, like we're talking about here, saving for kids, college, something like that. Then the other is the ability to withstand a financial shock. You know, I'm driving to work, I get in a car accident, I have a $2,500 deductible on my car. Can I come up with $2,500 to get my car fixed?
Yeah.
And so when you look at all three of those different areas, then you factor in, well, one of those bubbles might be larger or a bigger problem for one generation versus another.
And I know we've reported before, some people have a hard time even pulling together $500 for an emergency like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I know we've talked with you before about this notion of financial wellness
mm-hmm.
and how it impacts other parts of the workplace. And this is becoming more prominent feature among employers looking to fix these problems.
It certainly is, both, you know, in two different ways. Again, from a benefits perspective, you know, as we just talked about with, say, a 401k plan, is it working? But also from the standpoint of, you know, absenteeism rates or even presenteeism rates. If an employee is stressed and concerned about their finances, just like an employee might have a health problem, that's time away from being productive in the workplace. So you look at what is an employer's role. It's to get a job done or help those employees get their job done in a productive manner. And strictly from that point of view, financial wellness is crept into the conversation and becoming more and more part of an employer's culture.
I know people are listening to our conversation and thinking, well, I'd like to learn more about this. Do you have any ideas of where to go for like good sources about learning more about this?
Yeah, sure. I mean, our website, associatedbrc.com and associatedbank.com, there's all kinds of resources with regard to financial wellness and wellness in the workplace in general.
I saw another story, too, about how folks are pulling money out of their 401ks, putting them in IRA accounts, other managed funds. Is that advisable?
Well, I'm not one to say.
Right.
I'm not
okay.
a financial advisor. However, I will say this. When you think about what's traditionally known as a participant-directed account in a traditional 401k plan, like we talked about before, how do I know where to put my money and make these smart investments? I got a suite of 35 different funds. I don't know where to put it. What we're seeing some employers do to maybe, you know, in light of what you just mentioned, go to a managed account approach where they would actually bring in a financial advisor through the workplace to help an employee invest in their 401k plan, taking into account all of the situational things we discuss with regard to a person's individual finances and what their goals are.
You touched on this earlier, but the fiduciary obligations of employers, mm-hmm. they have to walk sort of a tightrope here, don't they?
They really do. You know, the fiduciary obligation, not every employer that sponsors a 401k plan, that doesn't mean, you know, their CEO is automatically a fiduciary, but by law, someone is making the decision as to where these people, all their employees' money goes, right? So even if it's participant directed, where I can choose the funds I want to invest in, that employer still has chosen or paid someone to choose that suite of funds from which I can now choose. So under ERISA, the law that protects employees from a fairness and benefits standpoint, the Department of Labor does have a fiduciary obligation, or puts a fiduciary obligation on employers to make sure that money is safeguarded.
The other part of this is once you're in that 401k, learning about those funds, what you're investing in, what changes you can make. And some of the groups that do these funds for companies are pretty helpful in that regard, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Employers should lean on those service providers for that advice.
Brett, always good chatting with you. Thanks for the information.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve. All right.
Brett McKittrick is the Senior Vice President, Senior HR Consultant at Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting, part of Associated Bank. That website that Brett mentioned again is associatedbrc.com. You can hear our Thought Leader conversations every Thursday here on the Opening Bell and find more about them and past conversations on the Opening Bell page, wgnradio.com, and even more at associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership.